Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. I appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. When the announcements were being made, Micah and I both thought that Robert said Mac is having a baby Friday. And I was like, that's news. You didn't know that was happening, did you, Miss Rita? Then I realized that he said Matt after that, but for a moment there, I was really confused because I thought I had missed a major announcement there. This morning, we began a study, and we started it really last week, looking at our influence and looking at the statements of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 in verses 13 through 16. And last week, we looked at the fact that we need to be salt, and this morning, we began looking at the idea that we need to be light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." 3 points that we were wanting to consider from this text. Number one, we began this morning looking at a picture to fit. And Jesus said that you are the light of the world. And we began to notice 10 characteristics of light that also applies to the Christian. We noticed that light reveals and illuminates. We noticed that it banishes darkness, that it warms, comforts, and cheers, that it guides, that it warns of dangers, that it awakens, and that it shines for the benefit of others. And that brings us to number 8 tonight. Light can be painful. Light can be painful. If someone flips the light on in the bedroom after you've been sleeping in darkness, it kind of hurts the eyes, doesn't it? In our house, if I flip the light on before Micah's ready to get up, it hurts me. And so light can be painful. Light always hurts eyes that are used to darkness. And in like manner, spiritual light can hurt those eyes that are accustomed to spiritual darkness. God's word at times can be painful. The same word that saves the faithful also condemns the wicked. And sometimes, as we noticed with Saul, we must reprove and rebuke as well as exhort. A Christian's life and the things that we teach may be painful to someone who is living in sin, even to the point of resentment and anger. I'm sure many of you have probably been on the receiving end of that when you've tried to talk to a family member or a friend about maybe some things in their life that don't line up with what God's Word says, and as a result, they become angry with you and maybe even lash out at you. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" One example of that fact to the extreme is that of Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, and especially in verses 51 through 60, Stephen begins a long discourse there, explaining to the children of Israel that were listening, explaining to them their history and how they had come to the point that they were. And as he reaches kind of the crescendo of that, he talks about the fact that they had killed the prophets and how they had also killed Jesus. And of course, you recall that they ended up stoning Stephen, taking his life because of what he said. Light can be painful, and so can the righteous life of a Christian to someone who is living in darkness. That brings us to number 9. Light burns sacrificially. Light burns sacrificially. When a light is burning, something is being consumed, right? You think about a candle, what's being consumed? Well, wax. A light bulb, we have energy being consumed. The sun or other stars, we have gases that are reacting and being consumed. When a person is living the Christian life, something is supposed to be consumed. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Paul calls for you and I to be living sacrifices. Now, of course, the sacrifices that they offered in the Old Testament, those sacrifices were consumed. They would bring the ram or the lamb or whatever was being offered. They would bring that to the priest, and that would be put on the altar of burnt offerings, and that offering would be consumed. We as Christians are that sacrifice. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Brethren, as we live the Christian life, there are things that are supposed to be sacrificed. Our time, our talents, our money, our energy, our very selves are supposed to be given to God as a sacrifice to Him. Light burns sacrificially, and the Christian is to be a living sacrifice as well. Tenth and finally, light is conspicuous. Light is conspicuous. Conspicuous, a definition, means standing out so as to be clearly visible, easily seen or noticed, readily visible or observable. The candle is put on a candlestick. Why? So that it can be seen, so that it can give light to all who are in the house. The city is set on a hill. Why? So that people can see the city located there. It should be impossible for a person to not know that you're a Christian. We should be living our lives in such a way that those that we come in contact at the very least realize there's something different about this one. They might not know what it is right off, but they can see there's something different here. Notice the verse says about the light in the city that they cannot be hidden. If one doesn't know that we're a Christian, then there's really only a couple of explanations. Either we're not a Christian, or we have hid that so that others cannot see it. The Christian should be one whose life can be easily seen by others. One more thing before we leave our first point here. And that is where our lights are to shine. You know, a candle in the house, that's seen by the family, right? So our lights as Christians should be seen by our families. A city, well, that's seen by the community, right? And so our lights should shine in the community as well. And then I thought about the sun. Well, the sun, well, that's seen by everybody. As Christians, it should be that our lights burn brightly for everyone to see, so that they can be led to God. That brings us to our second point, and that is a possibility to fear. In verse 15, we read, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand." Two things that I want us to consider under this point. First off, it is possible for us to hide our light from others. Now that raises the question, why would we hide our lights? Let's notice a few reasons. We might hide our lights because of fear. Maybe we're afraid of what someone might say or might do. And we're worried about their reaction if they find out that we're a Christian. Maybe we know that they're hostile towards Christianity. And so we hide that light from them due to fear. Maybe we hide our light because we're ashamed. And maybe we aren't living as we know we should be living. And as a result, we hide that light from others. Maybe we hide our light because of apathy. You know, in Ezekiel's day, and today as well, that can be a problem. In Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, Ezekiel says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." God, speaking through Ezekiel, said, "I was looking for someone. There was a gap right here that I needed someone to step up into. I needed someone to fill that void." God says, "I saw it and I didn't find anyone." There was no one willing to step up to stand in that gap. Maybe we hide our light because of selfishness. How do we combat this? A couple of passages that came to my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, if that's our attitude, that it's no longer about us, that it's no longer my life, but it's Christ's life, well, then we're going to let that light shine. None of those things that we just talked about, fear or apathy or being ashamed or selfish, none of those things are going to matter because it's not our life. Second, although not stated in the verse, but an obvious possibility concerning a candle, as we sang in the children's song, is that light can be blown out. Now, another possibility to fear, without a doubt, is that light being blown out. What things could blow out our lights? Well, our jobs, school, family, sports, myself. There are a lot of things that can cause that light to go out. So how do we combat that? Well, take jobs, for instance. Realize that our job is a means given to us by God to provide the things that we need. And that our pursuit of material things should not come before the God who gave us those things. 1 Timothy 6:10 talks about the fact that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. With school, yes, hey, education is important. But will that secular education get me to heaven? While that secular education is important, a biblical education is even more so. Family, hey, my family is important to me. But they can't be more important than God. Matthew 10:37, Jesus illustrated very clearly that our love for Him has to come first. Sports. For many of us, playing sports in high school was the end of it. Now, for a small percentage, some may go to play for a community college, and then even a smaller percentage may play Division I. And then from that tiny percentage, even a tinier percentage may make it to the pros. But even if an individual makes it to the pros, does that really matter to the God of heaven? Will He say, oh, you're a professional athlete, enter into the joys of your Lord? Now, don't get me wrong, I love sports. I love watching sports. I love watching Harrison play sports. But ultimately, that's not the end goal. What will matter in the end is whether or not you and I have been His servant. It all comes down to Matthew 6:33 if we want to keep our light shining. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We need to remember the words of the children's song. Hide it under a bushel? No. Won't let Satan blow it out. Instead, I'm going to let it shine. Third and finally, a purpose to fulfill. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our good works here can be equated to our influence. And our influence should call others to glorify our Father in heaven. Now, our good work consists of two things: good words, the things that we say, and good deeds, the things that we do. And notice it is the works that are to be seen, not the worker. The old lamplighter could not be seen, but the lamps he lit could. The one keeping the lighthouse burning, he couldn't be seen, but the light that was cast out into the darkness could. Our goal as a Christian is to reflect the most of Christ in the least of ourselves. We want people to see as much as Christ as possible and as little of me as possible. And notice the works are to be seen and not just heard. 1 Timothy 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What does John tell us there? He tells us that love, it's not just something you say, but it's something you do. We want to hear well done. That indeed is better than well said. It would take sound just under 33 hours to circle the earth one time. Alright? Speed of sound could circle the entire earth in 33 hours. Light can circle the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. We need to do more shining than sounding. Something else that's important to realize is the purpose of our doing good works and letting our light shine is to bring glory to God. You know, street lights help to protect the citizens, right? But the people don't praise the street lights, do they? They thank the people who put the street lights in place. In a similar manner, we shine so that the one who bought us may be glorified. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Brethren, we need to run the Christian race so that when we cross the finish line, our lights are shining for all to see. And we can hear our Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. We need to be light. We need to let our light shine so that God can be glorified. Let me ask you, are you doing that tonight? If you're here and you're not a Christian, would you take those steps and put Christ on in baptism? Have those sins washed away? Begin a new life in Him? And maybe you've done that, but you've turned away from Him. Why not come back home tonight? Let's leave here with our light shining brightly so that the world may see Jesus. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.